Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. This season, it's all grit. I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players, gaining more insight on what makes this team go. The Detroit Lions are now in a new, grittier era, and we look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we hear from Coach Dan Campbell, wide receiver Jamison Williams, and defensive back Carlton Davis III as the Lions wrap up their first OTAs, the offseason workouts. We'll break down the insights Coach Campbell shares and learn the players' perspectives as many players are back together to start working towards that 2024 season. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Mike McMahon from the Detroit Lions, and you are listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today, as often am, by James Cook, the senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast that drops on Mondays. James, good to have you here.
Great to be here, as always.
All right, James, I don't know if you caught the entire opening remarks for Coach Campbell, but I got to tell you, his opening remarks were fun. He listed off a number of players, and he said they're either on the PUP, they could be on the PUP, they're not here for personal reasons, and their status is uncertain. If the Lions were to play the Rams, some of them would be considered probable. And it got a nice laugh from the rest of the media members. And James, that's such a nice spot for this team to be in, to open with such a lighthearted comment and jest like that.
Yeah. I mean, they did have a decent number of players who didn't participate in that day of OTAs, but that's not, I don't think that's unusual. The Lions under Campbell have been very cautious with anybody who has anything close to an injury, you know, and getting in one day of OTAs is not worth setting a guy back, you know, which has happened before with the Lions under guys like Vitae and stuff. So it's not surprising, but it's good to see him joking about it.
For sure, it is. And you know what? Like you said, they're managing the reps people are going to be getting. They're managing anything. And Campbell even talked about it a couple different times where some people had some things creep up. They're just being extra cautious with them. Well, one of the first questions Campbell was asked about were team expectations. And one other reporter asked, is it Super Bowl or bust? Here's what Campbell had to say.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole I don't see bust. I see Super Bowl. I don't know what the bust is. So
Super Bowl or nothing.
It's, you know, here's what I know, man. We all know what every team ought to have that, right? Every team ought to be like, man, what are you playing for? You're playing for a Super Bowl. So we're no different than that. But I think, yeah, we know that now. We work backwards from there. And so you got to set yourself up no different than last year. Certain things you got to do to really make that valid, you know, make that a reality. So, and so that's, yeah, ultimately that's what we want to do. Now to do that, you better win the division. You got to give yourself the best odds you can, right? You need to win the division. You need the best seating you possibly do. Okay, well, how do you do that? Well, you got to start with where we're at now. You got to go back to work. You got to do all the little things, which to this point our guys have done, man. They've been here for offseason. They're grinding. They're working. We're in good shape. We're strong. We're physical. We're explosive. And we're just in the beginning of this.
Okay, James, what's your takeaway from that?
I mean, I think it, you know, what he said kind of speaks for itself, you know, and that every team expects to get to the Super Bowl. And the Lions got so close last year that they have to be expecting to get there too. So, yeah, I think in a lot of ways, it is Super Bowl or bust for the Lions. I think they should at least get back to the NFC Championship game. It should be the expectation this year.
Yeah, we come in without, hey, the Lions could be really good. No, we're not we could be. We are really good. And it's been a very long time since the Lions came off a season that was so successful or even very successful and then followed it up with another successful season. I loved how Campbell said, I don't know what that bus part is you're talking about. He's like, there's no or in Dan Campbell's equation. And that's the right mindset, the right mentality going. And you even said it. Yeah, every team should have that. And even though every team probably does, it's not realistic for everybody. But it is realistic for the Lions. I also like how Campbell talked about, you know, yeah, that is the ultimate goal. But we also need to win our division because you take it steps at a time. And we know this division is going to be improved. James, another thing that I took away from listening to Campbell was maybe the biggest praise he gave, and that was for wide receiver Jameson Williams. Folks, if you haven't heard it, here's Campbell talking about Jameson Williams and his progress.
Yeah, look, there again, all right, so we started this thing, back in April, and, you know, you got phase one for a couple of weeks, then we've been on the grass for 3 weeks in phase two, which has been routes on air and fundamentals and individual and doing all this, and then we're two practices in, and if you said, give me one player that is the most improved from that start to finish in that time, J-Mo would be that guy right now. All right, he is a man on a mission, and I'm just going to leave it at that. All right, I'm going to leave it at that.
Now, James, Campbell didn't even have to bring this up, or even when it did come up, he didn't have to speak so highly about it, so this is really encouraging.
Yeah, I think so. And then Jameson Williams talked today too as well. And he talked about how far Antoine Green has come. So, you know, I think it kind of explains why the Lions didn't do a whole lot to address the wide receiver position. I think they're a lot more confident in how these guys are coming along than maybe the fans are. I think they expect a bump up in reps and participation from Antoine Green. They obviously expect a big bump in production from Jameson Williams. And then, they think that they have a pretty good, fairly young number three receiver in Donovan Peoples-Jones as well.
Yeah, I don't think, fans should be that shocked by Campbell saying that. We saw growth through the season with Jameson Williams. And if you track everything, there is a real chance that he explodes on the scene this year. And, Jameson Williams was asked about Campbell's comment, and here's what J-Mo had to say.
My mindset has just been, just to get better, do better than I did last year, help the team out a little bit more in a lot of ways. But hearing that come from my coach, it means a lot because I've been working, and I've been putting in work ever since the season ended. So it feels good hearing that.
So, he also notices the focus of the details, he said, between the college and the pro level being different. And he even has some more insights to share.
This is my third year. This is really my first year going out there, getting real reps with the ones and, moving around with the ones, getting reps with JG and things like that, just moving around, getting the right splits and everything, just feeling comfortable, So this is my first year doing all that, and it just feels good going into it.
So James, we talk about it, it's that magical third year, but for him, it's almost like a first year. So these are really encouraging things that he brings to the team this year. He is at a different starting point than he has been at the two previous off seasons. And there's also a new guy in the building with experience lining up against him in practice. That's defensive back Carlton Davis III. He even weighed in on this.
He is. He has a bright future. I love going up against him. He just has so many tools in his toolbox, man. He can beat you running fast. He can snap down. He's a threat in a lot of different ways. So when you're going up against a guy like that every day, you have no choice but to get better. I'm here to make him one of the best receivers in the league, man. That's my goal. And that's what everybody who I go up against on my team. I'm going to push them. They're going to push me back. And that's the competitive spirit that I've been talking about.
So Davis also said that J-Mo is making him better, which is also important. So, James, a few different variables thrown together here, it makes for a pretty good situation.
Yeah, I think it has to make a difference this year with Jameson Williams being that this will be his first year with a normal start. to the season. You know, he was injured his first season at the beginning of the year, didn't play for a few weeks, and then, you know, obviously suspended at the beginning of his second season and didn't play for quite a while. So just being able to have that full off season and being able to get his feet on the ground right away and get in with this team, I think will be incredibly beneficial to him. I think you'll see a different player than you've seen the first 2 years.
I agree. A different starting point, which means, you know, you only have to progress so much and you're at a whole different level. And you brought this up earlier. The Lions did not bring in any wide receivers through free agency. So they're expecting progress from Jameson Williams, and it shouldn't be a shock that they are. The fact that he talked about Antoine Green, the Lions fans might not have seen much, but they drafted him last year late, and again, they probably have a plan in place, and the Lions have done that with some guys that they draft late. They don't necessarily contribute their rookie season. We might see that again this year with some guys who got drafted later, and they might contribute more the following year. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones, you know, he's another guy to watch really close, because those two guys have the potential to launch the Lions, I think, launch that offense into a different stratosphere of productivity that some people might not even be thinking about.
Yeah, I think so too. And the other thing is, you know, the one, they didn't bring anybody in free agency, like you said. You know, that I think that's huge. The only other player that they brought in was an undrafted free agent who appears to be somebody who's a potential guy to make the roster, in Isaiah Williams. He'll be a guy that Antoine Green's going to have to maybe fend off to make the team, or, you know, or they could maybe go with 5-6 wide receivers. You never know. But Antoine Green was one of those guys that they kept on the roster. They kept him on the 53 all year last year because they didn't want to risk putting him on the practice squad and him getting poached or picked up on waivers. So I think that says something about what they think they have there.
That says a lot. You're exactly right. And Antoine Green's got size, right? Him and Isaiah Williams are kind of very different types of wide receivers. Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Antoine Green are the only two really taller receivers on our roster right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Jameson Williams isn't short, but he's thin. He's lean. You know, he's a speed guy. He's not your guy that you're going to run, you know, a corner post with, you know, in the end zone, you know, on a, you know, third and goal from the 5, you're not going to run a fade out to him or anything like that. Yeah. So Antoine Green could be that guy. I mean, they do have Traquan Smith, who I think is unlikely to make the team, but he's that also kind of big receiver that could make the team if they had some injuries, God forbid. But, you know, I don't see him being a factor, maybe being a guy that they keep as a veteran on the practice squad.
Yeah, Traquan Smith did flash early in his career with the Saints. There's some familiarity with the Lions coaching staff and him as well. Let's go over to one other spot that people want to talk about on the offense, and that's usually the most popular spot, or had been for a long time with the Lions, which was the backup quarterback position. We obviously know Jared Goff is solidified as a starter, but we have a new backup this year. Coach Campbell was asked about the backup, Hendon Hooker. Here's what he had to say.
He needs to take a step up. We need to feel like by the end of camp, this guy can run this offense. You know, he's somebody we know that, man, we can play the game a certain way with him. We know he's gonna be able to process the information. He's gonna get us in the right play. And he's somebody that we can, man, he's gonna keep the ship afloat. That's it. You know, we don't need him to come in and win a game. You just want to feel like, all right. And so, so obviously he's going to need to take another step up. The good news is, especially right now, he's getting a ton of reps. I mean, in the last 2 days, he's really getting all the second and third group, cause Sudfeld is limited. So, and that's a good thing. So we're just going to douse him with reps, and he's getting all of this. He's going to get a ton in training camp, and you know, that's the best thing he can get right now is reps.
So James, you know, I think we knew this was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen a year ago. And there's so many great things here. Is one, you have a backup quarterback who's very affordable. Two, you have a guy who has a lot of upside to him and a lot of potential. So if something does happen to Jared Goff, he can come in and it's not like a situation it was for most of Matthew Stafford's career. I mean, outside of Sean Hill, I don't know if there was a great, I think Jeff Driscoll may have been the best backup they had outside of Sean Hill. And whenever Stafford went down, you're like, okay, well, we have no shot. So it's exciting, but also Campbell talked about Hendon does need to step up. He's going to need to show them by the end of camp that he's got that job.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I've seen some people saying that this has put Hendon Hooker in a bad situation because he's under contract with the Lions for three more years, potentially at least two, and then maybe an option year behind a quarterback who's locked in for all those years too. So barring injury, he's probably not going to see the field. I would expect the Lions to play him a lot in the preseason, though, not only just for the experience factor, but also to show him off to the league, to increase his potential trade value in case, you know, they decide that they, you know, that they need to move on from him in a year or two, and rather than lose him in free agency and maybe get something for him. But in the meantime, for a couple of seasons, they have a really good backup quarterback, you hope.
Well, yeah, and it was a third round pick, and there's so many times the Lions haven't even thought about drafting a quarterback at any point that it was necessary. It's still a great pick, and I expect him to be on our team this year and next year. And you just never know, as creative as Ben Johnson is, they might work out some sort of package where Hendon Hooker comes into the game in certain situations, and it just adds a whole nother dimension to our offense.
Yeah, it was interesting. If you go back and look at Jared Goff's early years at Cal, that's kind of what they did. He was the passing quarterback, and they had another quarterback that they would play in certain packages who was the running quarterback. And as Jared Goff got better, he took over the lion's share of that and pretty much played all the time and everything like that. But for a while, there was another running quarterback that he played with that gave the defense something else to look at. And I could see that with Hendon Hooker. I mean, he's obviously athletic. He's got a good arm too. And, you know, he's for the end of the third round, he's a great pick. And, you know, he was supposed to be a first round pick. So he's got everything you look for. So why wouldn't you maybe just try to get him a few plays here or there? Maybe, you know, get Jared Goff a little rest in a game.
Yeah, you never know. And like I said, you're going to see a lot of him in the preseason. You're going to see that'll be our first real taste of what he can do. And I'm optimistic to see that. I'm excited. I don't even Witkoff's new contract. I don't think it was a wasted pick. I think it was a very smart pick. And it puts us in a really good spot that we're not chasing down a backup quarterback to sign in August like we did last year. So let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Campbell spoke about the secondary a little bit, and he talked about how it's a different spot right now than it was just a year ago.
Getting a Meek, you know, we've playing a Meek at some nickel here. You know, obviously we got Davis outside, and, you know, Dorsey's outside, those guys. Rakestraw and Arnold really aren't getting a lot of reps right now. We're being smart with both of those guys. Just a couple of things popped up, nothing to panic about. But that's kind of the beauty of it, especially when they come back. You know, we've got, you know, Brad's done such a good job on the back end now. We've got a lot of competition back there. And then it's, man, who can do this? And that's just the beginning of this. Okay, Meek at nickel. We know Meek can play outside too. But then what about Rakestraw or Arnold or, you know, Dorse and Vildor? And, you know, we've got options. So that's kind of what we're tinkering with a little bit right now. It is exciting, though.
So, James, you know, this is the most changed group of the football team from last year. Emmanuel Mosley and Kendall Vildor are back, but with the free agency moves and the drafting, it really sets a new scene. And Carlton Davis III, he talked about how the room looks right now.
It's great competition. That's what we want, right? We play football, we play a competitive sport, and we want to push each other, man. We want great competition in there. We want to become the best versions of ourselves. So it's exciting.
So for me, that's really exciting. You're going to have a whole new look. Now, it's going to take time for these guys to gel and kind of work together as a seamless unit. But man, we have a lot of potential put in this room, James.
Yeah, I think so. The depth that they instantly created at this position in the matter of one offseason to address what was your most glaring weakness on the team last year. it's just a remarkable change for one offseason. And it'll be interesting to see how they do this. You know, is Rake Straw going to play in the slot? Is you know, people originally thought Amik Robertson was going to play in the slot, and then Cam Sutton suddenly is not in the equation. And so it looks more like he's going to go outside, and then they draft two outside corners. And, you know, but Rake Straw can play inside for sure. He's got plenty of experience doing that. So you've got yourself so many moving pieces in that secondary that they can do so many different things with. And, you know, you can move Branch back and forth from safety to the slot. You can move Rake Straw from the slot to outside. Amik Robertson can play inside or out. You've got good man press corners in Terry and Arnold and Davis now. You've got, if Emmanuel Mosley is healthy, I mean, you've got another starting level corner in there. And then you've got Kendall Vildor as good depth.
Yeah, very excellent depth. And, you know, if we talk about the free agent signings or the lack thereof, look at our secondary as far as the safety position goes. I think we're probably expecting that Branch is going to spend more time at safety if we don't have many more players there. We don't have a lot of depth at the safety position compared to last year. We lost two of our top four guys. So that's going to be something to watch, whether they sign one of these free agents that are out there or they go ahead with what they have. Because like you said, there's so much flexibility and versatility between those positions.
Yeah, personally, I'd like to see them sign another veteran safety. Somebody to come in there and give them a safety valve at that position. No pun intended. And just give them another guy. I mean, otherwise, you know, if one of those guys gets injured, you're potentially looking at, you know, Brandon Joseph or CJ Moore having to be thrust into safety. And, you know, I don't know how comfortable Aaron Glenn is with that.
I agree with you on that. I really personally would also love them to sign somebody. It could be a starting caliber guy, which would be amazing, or it could be somebody who would be a very, very good backup, a good veteran there. So I think that is like the one spot that I think has the biggest need if we're looking at needs and we're not talking special teams. So we'll see what happens there. But the team itself seems to have a pretty good attitude right now. And Campbell was asked about the team attitude when it comes to the expectations.
Yeah, I can feel it. You have to believe and think that way, you know, and I think we're all know what we're capable of here. But more importantly, yeah, it does permeate, but it's also, you can't just say it and then say we're going to believe and not put the work in. That's the most important thing. There is a belief, but I think the belief comes from the work that you put in and doing all the little things right and starting back from the ground up. And surpassing where you were at, you know, build from the ground up. And now we got to get even further. We got to think a little bit, you know, we got to think a little bit different here, you know, and there's got to be a different level of focus and detail to what we do. And that can never be lost. You know, you got to go earn everything again. And I mentioned this last year, I'm going to say it again. It's going to take a lot more than it did last year to get to where we were. That's just the nature of how it goes. And, you know, but we're going to be more than capable of doing that. And, you know, things got to go your way. But it does start with you. It starts with those players, starts with the coaches. We got to put the work in.
So there you go, James. I mean, they've got the attitude. They've got the experience from last year. They've got that bitter taste from losing that final game, which every team will have except the Super Bowl champion. It's obviously different when you lose your final game in the playoffs versus not losing it in the playoffs. But man, this team seems like they're pretty ready to go, and it's May.
Yeah, I'm just excited to see this team, and you know, and I don't know how many guys will play in the preseason, but I'm interested to see those preseason games. you know, their one home preseason game is against the Steelers, so that one would be interesting in the third week, but first 2 weeks they're on the road. It's just going to be interesting to see all the new depth, and especially on the defensive line that they've added, and the secondary, as we've talked about before, and what they're going to do with that from a schematic standpoint.
Yeah, because we've really raised the floor as far as the depth goes. We have higher quality of depth. It's that much harder for people to make this roster now. And looking at that schedule, the Lions, they're only going to get one joint practice this year. It's going to be with the Giants when they're out on the East Coast. And Campbell said they wanted a second one, and that would have been with Kansas City. But Kansas City doesn't really do those. So it's a bummer because you get to do so much practice with situational plays in a controlled environment. Campbell wasn't sure how that's going to affect their preseason play, and they're still tinkering with that. But like you mentioned, the first game's out with the New York Giants, second one at Kansas City. The third and final game will be at home against Pittsburgh again. They only have one home preseason game because they get 9 regular season games this year at home. And obviously every fan would take that trade off every year. So it'll be interesting to watch the preseason. It's going to be very exciting, especially that first one in out in New York, I think.
Yeah, because that's the one where, you know, you get that joint practice, and the preseason game can get a little testy after the joint practice. So those are always kind of interesting to watch, because you've got the young guys, the rookies who are fighting for spots, and they've been fighting with the Giants for a day in those joint practices, and then they get to fight them again in an actual game environment. So those games can get pretty kind of, you know, physical and emotional in those games.
Yeah, and again, I think we're going to see a lot of Hendon Hooker in the preseason. I think that's one thing most Lions fans are really looking forward to, and we're going to get to see him for 3 games because he's going to get a lot of work out there, and it'll be probably more him than Nate Sudfeld because they want Hendon to be as game-ready as possible once the season starts. James, that's kind of the show at this point. You got any final thoughts before we wrap this up and get out of here?
No, like I said, it's going to be interesting. I think that the new special teams stuff is going to be interesting too, to see, you know, what they come up with for the new kickoff rules. You know, Dave Phipps seems to be pretty excited about it. You know, they brought back a couple of their core special teams guys, lost one or two, but they added some guys that can play special teams as well. You know, getting CJ Moore back from his year long suspension for gambling gives them another pretty good core special teamer to add to the team.
Well, that's another point. You're right. The preseason games are going to be all the fans' first look at the kickoffs, the new kickoff. And so that will be interesting. And I got a feeling like the Lions, they're not going to tip their hand. They're going to try some real basic stuff, but then they'll be plotting stuff in the background thinking, okay, this is what we're going to show, but what will we really do when it actually happens in the season? So that's going to be a big adjustment for fans. And, you know, I've seen highlights from the other league that used, I believe it was the XFL, but it'll be interesting and different to finally see it in person when it happens in the preseason games. All right, James. Well, great having you here. Love talking Lions. Great to get the sound from the coach and the players here as the team gets together. And now we're going to go into that quiet period. Folks, if something pops up or happens, we'll do a show. Otherwise, it might be quiet for a little while. James, enjoy talking Lions with you as always, and I always greatly appreciate your insights.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
And thank you, folks, for tuning in. You can find more episodes and content at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. And while you're at it, tell your friends about this show. And please subscribe, regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.